This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome in, everybody. A very happy Friar Friday to you. Finally a Friday. Gwen and Chris, very short program today. Going to be with you just for an hour, but we are going to get a lot done in this hour, including a visit with Padres right-hander Michael King. Here's our Friar Friday interview. That's coming up in just a little bit, but Tony Gwynn Jr. is in New York at Citi Field, where tonight the Padres take on the New York Mets. Tony, always a pleasure. How are we today, sir?
Doing good, feeling fine, feeling great. How are you?
I'm good. How was, I think when we last left you on the program last night, you were on your way to an Uber Eats run-in with some face stuffing, you said. Yes.
Yes.
How did that work out okay?
The face stuffing went okay. It was followed by a nice 10-mile Peloton ride.
There you go. That a boy.
Just so I could say I did something yesterday, and then... Today, got up, had another little workout, and then went to a really good deli.
New York
has a lot of good food, but they don't. I don't know if anybody does a deli better than New York.
No, we don't. We do our best here. I mean, I think that it, you know, DZ Akins does a nice job, but there's nothing like a New York deli. There just is not.
I don't know what it is, but it's a whole nother league. It's just another league. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. So I got a nice little sandwich from the deli today.
Sounds like nap time to me, Tony. I mean, too bad you have to call a ball game.
Yeah, no, I can't take a nap, unfortunately, because trust me, if I needed one, I would take one, but I feel pretty good today. So hopefully this hour show is as good as the rest of the day has been, and the Padres can finish it off, put the cherry on top with a victory.
Well, it's already a banner day here on Gwynn and Chris, because after 4 days of being locked in his home, Mr. Scraby has come out to play, and he is actually in studio today.
He's in the building.
He's got his little arm sling there.
He's
doing very well after his right shoulder surgery, and it's good to see you in studio, sir.
Thank you. It's great to be here. If it wasn't a one-hour show, I probably wouldn't be here, but I forged on, and I showed Chris my surgery scars, so he can attest that there's actually
procedure. Either that or you went through a whole lot of trouble to put a bunch of stitches into your shoulder.
They did it arthroscopically.
Which I find hard to believe that you would have done. So, yes.
I got to tell you guys, medicine these days is amazing.
Crazy.
They were able to fix my shoulder without even cutting it open, just sticking a bunch of straws in my shoulder, basically.
Oh, it's really, they've come a long way. They've come a long, long way. Scraby also said he's not on his pain medication today, so
correct.
He might not be as wild and wacky as he's been the last few
days.
Let
me tell you, I have not been taking it before the show because I did not want
to
be...
You didn't think you'd be able to handle it?
You were thugging it out the first couple of days then, huh? On this show with no meds?
Yes, because I didn't want to act like a crazy person and then have that on the radio forever.
Well,
I have to say I'm disappointed because for radio purposes, it would have been great for the show to have you on there, Loopy.
You should have made a sacrifice and come on Loopy.
I think it would have been good.
Thank you, Tony. Actually, people have been asking me because, you know, I don't drink anymore. How are you doing the pain medication? And I'll just tell you quickly that I've told basically everyone in my life that I'm taking pain medication. I'm taking, you know, 1 5-milligram pill or whatever. But I gave it to someone else. They have all the pills. They are distributing to me when it's time to distribute to me.
You don't trust yourself to distribute to yourself.
I do not want to even put myself in that position.
No. Interesting.
I respect it, Scrabe. I mean,
thanks.
That's That's a grown-up adult thing to do. Exactly.
Well, because I know what will happen, and it will. I'll take one, and then I'll take another. It's not working, and then the third goes in, and I'm like, oh, this feels good, and I don't want to go down that road.
You don't want that feeling right there. Oh, this feels good.
I immediately went from pharmacy bag to person who's handling.
Interesting. All right. Well, now everybody knows.
Thank you.
Everybody knows everything about Scraby surgery. And his recovery. Let's let some people in on some baseball stuff. The Padres, of course, playing the Mets tonight. I think first thing we need to pass along, Jerickson Profar is back in the lineup. And I got to tell you, Tony, my heart stopped a little the other night when he went down on that swing. I did not know that he previously was battling a little knee pain. But what I did see in that game the other night was when he tried to score from first on the double by Manny Machado, he had a bit of an awkward collision with the catcher of the Oakland Athletics, and I thought that he got injured there and then went out to the field, then came back, tried to hit, and just did not have any strength in that knee. And I was like, oh, no, this could really be bad. Because of the season this guy's have, you root for it on two levels. One, you don't want to see anything happen just because he's enjoying such a great year. But two, he means a whole lot to this team. And to have him right back in the lineup tonight is a good start to the road trip.
Yeah, I mean, I after he spoke about it, I was less worried. You know,
yeah, right.
Like he's been kind of dealing with it throughout, you know, the last few years. I didn't see the collision you're referring to with the catcher. I saw that he came around third. He was looked like he was a little gimpy as he was coming in, trying to turn up the burners.
Right.
You know, those type of – and then plus when he walked off on kind of his own, even though he was limping, that, you know, that made me feel a little bit better going in. But nonetheless, back in the lineup, obviously a big piece to this offense. Obviously, same thing as you said. You're rooting for him because – He wants to be an all-star, and he's played well enough to be one. I know he wants it for his son, Kyrie, very, very much, and I want it for him. And so it was good to have him back in the lineup. Hopefully we see no ill effect from it.
Yeah, good start to everything. And, of course, Matt Waldron will be on the mound tonight against former Padre, Sean Manaea. Not going to worry about Manaea too much. I'm going to think mostly about Waldron. I mean, this guy's been on a tremendous roll right here, Tony. Four or five straight starts. Expect him to go out and, you know, dazzle him with that knuckleball again. I mean, this is the same situation that he's been taking advantage of recently, Tony, and that is no matter what the New York Mets hitters tried to do today in preparation for this game tonight, who's going to be able to throw him a knuckleball? You know, I mean, they're going to have to adjust to it. Once they start seeing it in the game, and he's been able to really use that to his advantage.
I mean, listen, I think some of the guys in this lineup probably have seen one or faced one. They won't be as naked as maybe the Marlins were when they had to face Waldron.
Yeah.
But having no one in that lineup having faced one before. So I guess we'll see how that kind of shakes out. But I think the most encouraging thing about Waldron is he hasn't, especially in his last start, he wasn't at his very best in terms of getting ahead. I think the start before that, yet he has put on some of his best performances. He's learning how to pitch in spots where maybe he's not landing the knuckleball as often early in the count, where he's got to use the sweeper or the fastball or the cutter to find a way to get back into an at-bat, and then he's able to use his knuckleball again. And I thought his last start, he started to get fresh with that knuckleball. We saw the slowest one I think we've seen. He's kind of mixing it up. I just think he's understanding how he has to use it in order to have success. And I think that's been the most encouraging thing, especially the last two starts, not getting ahead. Because we talked a lot about how important it is for him to get ahead so he can use it more. We've seen him win starts at 55% knuckleball. We've seen him win starts at 32% knuckleball, and I think that's important in his kind of journey of, you know, using the knuckleball.
Yeah, it's been great, and it's really interesting when you think about it, because if you go back to the beginning of May, and we would have said, tonight's starting pitcher's Matt Waldron, everybody would have gone, oh, no. Now you say the starting pitcher's Matt Waldron, and everybody's like, hey, Sounds good. Let's go.
Let's roll.
Yeah, right. Let's roll. Let's keep it going. Nothing's more important than any other series. Let's state that up front, because even though we try to make it so, it really isn't. All the games count the same. But it's the first time the Padres are coming off a sweep, so you want to keep the good feelings going for as long as you can. And you kind of touched on it yesterday. There was a little, maybe a better feeling on the plane the other day coming into New York. And, you know, the more you keep winning, hopefully that grows a little, Tony. You're not going to get carried away, but, you know, not going to hurt to win two or three more in a row.
No, you can't get carried away. I think
that's what
the players understand better than the rest of us.
Right. we don't get that.
Right. But, you know, I think, you know, it's just it. You want to create that good momentum. I mean, you created it. Now you just want to keep it. You win four. You know, five doesn't seem that big of a deal. You go out, you win five. Next thing you know, you look up, you won eight in a row. And that's where they would like to get to, right? Will that happen? We'll see. I mean, don't get me wrong. Going out and continuing to win the series is the name of the game. And they've done that at a pretty high rate here. And you want to just keep doing it. You got the Mets team, who is, you know, a team that still trying to find their way. They certainly aren't like pushovers, right? But they aren't, you know, as good as we've seen them in the past. You know, the following series is against the best team in baseball in the Phillies. So, you know, you got your work cut out for you as it pertains to this series. And, you know, tonight's matchup, no different. They got Manaea, a lefty, something that they've done better here as of recently, but struggled. And, you know, that's kind of the challenge that's put in front of them tonight.
I want to ask you about.
Know, there's
ahead.
Some weather. There's some weather in the area.
Oh well, it's New York.
I don't know that if you've heard that. You know, sometimes
I haven't. And please don't tell Adam Klug, because he's Adam Klug is enjoying. We hope enjoying.
Is it his birthday today?
Happy birthday, yes.
Happy birthday to Mr. Klug.
Happy birthday to our program director Adam Klug. But if he gets wind. Yeah. Of the fact that
maybe
there might
I shouldn't
be,
have said that.
I know, too much weather.
Oh no!
He will stop his birthday celebration. And,
poor Dave Marcus.
Yes,
oh, his
immediately
get go crazy.
Oh, yeah, your phone's blowing up.
I think
Dave.
I let the cat out the bag.
You let the cat out of the bag, Tony. You should have kept that one to yourself.
Well, as long as Chris and I get through the show, we're all good.
He's pretending to slam his phone right now because he's getting ready. He knows I just kind of blew it for him.
Oh yeah, Adam's going to be
calling. Quiet up here today.
Adam,
now
will be
I said that it's going to be over.
Adam Klug will be calling any minute. I wanted to ask you before we skedaddle out of this first segment about Kyle Higashioka, Tony, and what he's done and meant, you know, here the last 10 days to 2 weeks. I don't think I was overly critical of him a couple of weeks ago, but when he was in that 0-for-22, I was just saying, look, if you're a backup catcher, nobody expects you to carry the squad, but you definitely want to contribute once in a while. And now all of a sudden, here he is. I mean, he's contributing almost every time he makes a start. He's in the lineup tonight. He's catching Waldron. He's been doing a tremendous job there. He's got a walk-off home run the other night. I think he's hit a homer in each of his last three starts, if I'm not mistaken, maybe four. Look, he's part of the reason why things are looking a little more up right now. And, you know, I just like to see a guy who went through – you know, a low stretch, you know, to be able to pull it back together. Not always easy to do. We don't give it enough credit when it's done.
Yeah, I mean, it's his job. It's part of what he does. Let's be mindful of this next time he's in an 0-for-20. And we're not putting the pressure on him
right.
to find a way to help
Chris,
or contribute,
I won't,
as
I
you
promise.
Said. I just think these guys are pros, man. They're always gonna try to put their best foot forward. And it's always, as you said, it's always fun to see a guy you know is going through it find a way to pull himself out of it. Now that doesn't mean it's solved forever. This is baseball, so we know that that's not true. But at a time where that position as a whole was struggling, it was both him and Campy. They both have seemingly kind of come out of it a little bit, and so. Those are always positive steps, especially as it pertains to who's in the lineup, who's not. Waldron is seemingly his guy. That's the guy you know he's going to be in the lineup with. He talked last week about his comfort level now as he's starting to have to deal with the knuckleball. Because I can imagine when you're struggling and you're trying to make sure you can handle the defensive side and catch, it can be a lot. And so it's nice to see him having come out of it, had some big homers, obviously the walk-off, the biggest of them all. But he's in the lineup here today, and, you know, hopefully he can continue to contribute on the offensive side of things.
And we got to keep an eye on whether or not the Padres are able to find the big waffle knuckleball receiving mitt for Kyle Higashioka, as he shared with us last week that Padres didn't have one for Matt Waldron, and I don't think he's been able to use one all year. So
he hasn't, but I think he said that he was breaking there.
Oh, that's right. He was trying to break it. Yes, so, he needed to get it broken in. Yeah.
So we might not, honestly, you might not see that glove all season. I mean, the catcher's
really
glove is a I mean, that's those gloves are the hardest to break in. And so I imagine, you know, you don't want to be out there using this glove in the end of the season when, you know, these knuckleballs might actually have some meaning as they pass you or whatnot. You want to have your best glove available. So he's done, I'd say he's done a pretty dang good job without this knuckleball glove. I know he's working on one, but I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see it.
Well, one thing we definitely won't see tonight, for the Padres at least, is a walk-off home run win. They can't do that on the road. So
no.
We know that's not going to happen, but back-to-back walk-offs, we'll see if some of the momentum carries over here into game one of the series. We'll take a quick timeout here. When we come back, a lot of other things going on in sports. U.S. Open update. Rough day for Scottie Scheffler. We'll explain that. Also, the NBA season could come to an end tonight. And still ahead, our interview with Michael King. It is Gwynn and Chris, Chrisello, Scraby, here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony in New York, where the Padres play the Mets in just a little bit on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it's 2:22, and that means we're back. I'm Gwynn and Chris. That little organ music means that the Padre lineup is in, the entire lineup for tonight's game. We discussed a little bit of it with Tony in the first segment, but yeah, Jerickson Profar right back in there. Sat out only the one game. I mean, to me, that's like a big whew. Because when you go off without any contact, and a knee. And even if you hobble off, that can still be ACL damage.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen a lot of players, athletes walk off the floor, off the field, that turn out having ACL. Luckily, Profar, no such thing. Back in there tonight.
Can I ask something real quick before we move on about Jerickson Profar that I saw on X, and I think it's a pretty good question. But if it's known that his knee has this tendonitis, patellar tendonitis from time to time, why are they sending him when it's like going to be close to begin with? It doesn't seem like that would be the smart move with a guy with a hurt knee to send him while he's dealing with it.
I didn't take that into account the other night, but to me, with two outs and a play that's going to be that close at the plate, I think you got to take the chance, try to score the run. And on that particular occasion, the A's made a couple of really good relay throws and just got him at the plate. With one out, there's no way you would send him there. But with two outs, I think you take the chance to try to get the run. But it didn't work out. Luckily, Profar's back in there tonight. Luis Arraez is leading off. Fernando going to try to start a new hitting streak tonight. He'll be in right field batting second. Profar is in left field. You know, that's another thing that explains, though, why they take Profar out late in games in left field. You know, with a hurt knee, you don't want him chasing down a fly ball with the game on the line.
No, you want a speedster.
You want a Zokar in there. Manny's DH-ing again tonight. Again, I don't think we're going to see much of Manny at third base. This is my own opinion on it, just kind of looking at it. I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of him until after the All-Star break. at third base. We may see him there a little bit, but
he doesn't look quite comfortable.
He just doesn't seem ready to play third base. Solano is at third base, batting fifth. Jake, against the lefty, drops down to six. Ha-Sung Kim, Jackson Merrill, the hero from Wednesday, and Higashioka catching Matt Waldron tonight. One last thing on Jackson Merrill, too. I know he had the big moment the other night, but I'd love to see him have a big weekend in New York just so that the rest of the country will realize that we have a pretty good rookie here.
I don't know how he's been able to fly under the radar.
It's incredible. I mean, I told this yesterday or the day before when he hit the home run. I mean, ESPN puts a list out, you know, award winners 2 months into the season. Jackson Merrill doesn't make the top 10 for Rookie of the Year.
On the Bleacher Report center field rank, he wasn't even ranked.
I mean, it's good to fly under the radar, but at some point, I'd like to see some people recognize what this guy's doing.
Yeah.
You know, he's having a really good rookie season, and no one is aware. I mean, I don't know. You got to be a pretty good baseball fan to even name 10 National League rookies, let alone 10 guys you would rank ahead of him.
The only reason I know this is because he's on my fantasy team, but Jackson Churio, who has not been great this year.
He hasn't been unbelievable. He was supposed to be, right? Churio. Imanaga's obviously been the one guy with the Cubs. He's not really even a rookie, though. I mean, it's one of those, you know, where he's played in the Japanese League for so many years.
You got Jung-Hoo Lee, who's out now because he's out for the
season. San Francisco's guy. Yeah, he's out. I mean, anyway, look, you go back and forth on this, but, you know, I'd like to see Jackson get a little national attention while he's in New York. The U.S. Open getting plenty of attention, golf, and Scottie Scheffler. I mean, you talk about an odds-on favorite to win a golf tournament.
He wins everything.
He's been winning everything. His last eight tournaments coming into this, Scraby, he had 5 first and 2 second.
That's crazy.
And you're thinking, well, he's got to be there in the U.S. Open. Guess what? He's not even going to play this weekend.
No.
Shot a 4 over today, 74. He's 5 over for the tournament. Projected cut right now is 4 over. So he's going to miss the cut. I tell you, that's actually shocking.
That is very surprising, considering he doesn't miss cuts.
For the way he's been playing going in. Elsewhere on the guys at the top, you got still Patrick Cantlay there at 5 under, but he's now a shot behind your guy, Scraby.
Åberg?
Ludvig Åberg from Sweden. This young guy, I don't know if anybody remembers this, but he finished second behind Scheffler in the Masters this year.
Yeah, he's been pretty good.
And now he's winning the U.S. Open. He's at 6 under. He's got a one-shot lead over Cantlay, but maybe we're all focused on the wrong guy. Maybe this is the real big up-and-comer in the world of golf. He's only, what, 20-something years old?
Yeah, but he has to do Scheffler things before he's considered for that. Because right now, if you're going to say who's the biggest golfer in the world. Easy.
Oh, no, it's Scheffler for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about this kid. He's 24.
His potential is there.
24 years old. Ludvig Åberg from Sweden. He went to college at Texas Tech. So, but, I mean, this guy, I mean, you finished second in the Masters. Now you're winning the U.S. Open. I got to give you a little credit there.
Did you see that Rory McIlroy? I mean, I know he's up there. I don't know where he finished today, but he's getting back together with his wife.
Yeah, she may leave him after today.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm kidding.
It's a very strange situation.
Yeah, he shot a 2 over today. So he's in the hunt. He's at 3 under, 3 off the lead. DeChambeau's at 4 under. Couple off the lead. Schauffele finished at 1 under today, so he's certainly still in contention. Anybody under par is really still in contention right now. Tiger Woods, if you're wondering, last I saw, Tiger was in there at +6, and that's where he is with 4 holes to go. He'd actually need 2 birdies to make the weekend.
Are you getting to the point where you're like me, where you just don't really need
it
anymore?
I know, I'm barely even giving his result anymore.
Right?
Like, you had to for, you know, years and years. You had
to always. He had a chance.
Everybody wanted to know where Tiger was, but nobody's that interested.
Ooh, I just saw Brooks Koepka's at 4 over. He was...
Koepka was doing well until a triple bogey on the 12th hole today. Triple bogey. I got to tell you, when you're at the U.S. Open, a triple bogey got to even seem worse than that, because you know how hard it is to get a single birdie and get that stroke back And now you got to get three shots back.
Meanwhile, most of the rest of the field is not triple bogeying that same hole, so you're just losing strokes everywhere.
That's a tough one. That's a hang with him for
a golfer.
Hang with him for my guy Brooks Koepka. All right, U.S. Open will wrap up this weekend. A couple of other quick things: the NBA season could, most people feel, should end tonight in Dallas. Boston Celtics go for their 18th NBA title, which would break a tie with the Lakers. That's another reason why Tony's rooting against the Celtics. Celtics will have the most all-time, assuming they wrap this up tonight. One thing that they can accomplish that has never been done before, the Celtics, if they win tonight, will finish the playoffs on an 11-game win streak.
Wow.
No team has ever wrapped up an NBA title on that long of a win streak before. Them their due. I'm not a fan. I think they've had a lot of luck, a lot of injuries out there help them, and Doncic playing like an idiot. the Celtics have taken advantage of all of this, but you got to give them their due when they've won 11 consecutive games in the playoffs.
Or
11 tonight.
So. I got to say, and I'm not just saying this because I want to hurt basketball fans' feelings out there, but this might have been the worst finals I've ever been a part of in my life.
You'd have to,
Nets and the Lakers that one year.
That was kind of a mismatch many years ago. I'm sure Tony didn't think that was bad.
No.
He enjoyed it, but you'd have to do some comparing and some contrasting, but I will agree with you in the sense, Graber, that I have had a very difficult time getting into this series. And it also seems like, although Boston won game one with a good performance from Porzingis, it seemed to me more that Dallas lost game two and lost game three. And Boston's just been kind of there to take the leftovers. We'll see what happens. Maybe Dallas keeps it alive tonight, but Luka, play basketball. Leave the officials alone.
I got to think he's way more injured than we know.
And I also think he is hurt, too. You're right. I mean,
if
the
he's
guy's
taking pain-killing shots for his chest.
Taking a pain-killing shot just to play, that certainly has been a factor also. All right, Michael King is our Friar Friday interview. We'll also hear from Mike Schilt when we come back on Gwynn and Chris. All right, 2:39 is the time. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in New York City. He's getting ready along with Jesse Agler for the play-by-play call of tonight's ball game. Padres, Metropolitans, getting underway shortly after 4 o'clock. That means Sam Levitt's pregame show shortly after 3 o'clock following this here program. That's the EcoWater SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt. Do you know if we have a Big Frank on the board tonight or not?
We got Big Nick.
Oh, we don't have Big Frank.
No, we got Big Nick.
Big Nick tonight?
Yes.
Because if we had Big Frank and Sam Levitt, we'd be going New York, New York.
Oh.
Into tonight's game. Sam Levitt is from New York City.
Oh, I didn't know that, Chris.
You really did?
Yes, I knew that.
I don't know.
See, Frank is more of a...
But Frank is like all in on New York. Sam's left New York behind a little bit.
I don't know about
that. He's become
that.
A better...
No, he's not out there.
He's become a better Southern California guy. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sam definitely has embraced the Southern California lifestyle, but I'm sorry. These Mets are going down this weekend, Chris.
The Metropolitans must fall.
Must fall, I say.
We will see if the Padres can extend. What do they have, a 3-game win streak?
Yes.
Seems like 10, the way people are reacting to it right now.
See, so. A win streak with an off day was so much easier for us on the station
than
before.
People have been just giddy the last 48 to 72 hours around here. Mike Schilt, speaking to the media in New York. Prior to tonight's game, question was posed to Mr. Schilt, the manager of the Padres, about the Padres' issues against left-handed starting pitching. Now, the last two games, they faced left-handed starting pitching. They won both games, so feels like they did a little bit better. But to be honest, they didn't exactly blow out either of those two A's starters. They got 3 runs one game and I think 2 the next. So, the issue is still asked. What's the problem against lefty? Here's Mike Schilt.
Yeah, the numbers are coming up. I think they'll get to where they need to get to. There's not this blindness like, oh, they'll just show up. No, there's some intentionality of individually, collectively, you know, what are we doing? How are we doing it? Making sure ultimately in simple terms, you know, we have the right approach with the right swing. So, guys are working at it. I have complete 100% confidence in our hitting coaches and our players. And, it's a high baseball IQ group. And, you know, it's a game of adjustments. And sometimes they're easier to make than others. But we're on it. I can confidently tell you that.
Yeah, well, if they're not on it, we've been on it. And the only way I'm going to stop being on it is when they, you know, really take off. It's been almost 2 months since they've really put the screws to a left-handed starting pitcher. I'm talking like getting like 5 runs off a guy, 6 runs.
Yes.
It's really been a while. So, you know, they're going to have a chance tonight against Manaea. They'll have another chance tomorrow against Jose Quintana. So back-to-back lefties to start this series in New York. One guy who will not pitch this weekend is Michael King, but he's coming off an electric outing Wednesday, 12 strikeouts over 5 innings. My goodness.
He had 10 through 4.
Well, the most you can get in 5 innings is only 15. You can only get 3 strikeouts an inning.
Can't you get more than 3 if they
miss
the base?
Conceivably.
I never understand that.
No, if you strike out the third batter of an inning, but the catcher drops the ball and the batter makes first base, then that does go into the books as a strikeout. And then you conceivably could strike out the next batter and get 4 in one inning. It happens about once every 5 years, maybe.
Yeah, it sounds
in baseball.
Like that. Sounds like that.
Yeah, but basically, I mean, the most really he could get in 5 innings is 15, and he had 12. And he's back in New York where he played last several years, part of the Juan Soto trade. We addressed all of that stuff with Michael King in today's Fryer Friday interview, which you can now enjoy. And indeed, our Fryer Friday interview today with Padre pitcher Michael King from New York City, where the Padres are going to take on the Mets tonight. And I bring up New York City, Michael, because I guess it's a little bit of a homecoming for you. You were there in New York for a while. Is it kind of fun to be back, even though you're on the other side of town? Have you got to see anybody the last day or so?
Oh, yeah. It was great having an off day here. It's fun, too. So we went out to dinner with my wife and met up with some friends last night. So it's been great being back here.
Yeah, New York. I was curious when we talked to you before the season, and you know you're part of this big trade, and Soto goes to New York, and all you guys come out here, and you know he's having a really good season. I mean, let's be honest, Soto's having a great year. You guys, I think, are, you know, as a group, Higashioka, yourself, Vasquez, et cetera, are really starting to contribute more. Did you feel any pressure at all, extra pressure, maybe early in the season when you look and see what Soto's doing and thinking, we got to hold up our end of the bargain?
Not really. You just got to go out there and play your own game, you know. So he's such a generational talent that he's going to produce wherever he is, you know. So it's not something that you have to compare, and I don't think anybody can even fill his shoes here. But as long as we're as a team winning and playing good baseball, then that's all we can control.
Absolutely. We're talking to Michael King. Padres just getting done sweeping the A's. Now they're in New York to face the Mets. And Michael, you talked earlier in the season about having to remind yourself that you are now learning to be a full-time starter at the big league level. What are some of the lessons you've learned?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunately, I've been taught these lessons mid-game, but I know that that's always going to be how it is throughout the year. And so I think one of the biggest things, I basically told myself I need to have two mentalities. One's a starter mentality, one's a reliever mentality, and learn when to flip the switch on those. And if I get myself into a second and third, no outs, I'm going flipping the reliever mentality on and making sure there's no contact. I'm going for swing and miss and get as many strikeouts to put up as many zeros as possible. But Ruben talked to me about it. Like, the thing with that is that can spiral into a much bigger inning, where if you just minimize that inning and then still be able to give the team 6-7 innings, even if you give up a run or two in the third inning, that's okay as a starter. As a reliever, when I would come in second and third, it's usually that's the tying run or the winning run. So I needed to to change that mentality and know when I can actually flip the reliever switch on. And that happens to be later on in my games when I know that I can empty the tank, or whether it's the sixth, seventh inning, and those runs really, really matter because now we have less outs to make up for it. So I think that was the biggest mentality that I needed to learn. And I thought that it was a good mentality in the moment, but it cost me a couple games.
Michael, you talked about it, emptying the tank. And I'm curious, you know, because in your career as a reliever, you didn't have to think about it. But obviously now as a starter, you have to, you know, as you said, kind of ease your way through. How tough is that for a pitcher to not try as hard as you possibly can, or throw as hard as you possibly can, even from the beginning of the game?
Yeah, I really think it's, and this is something that Joe taught me, it's finding the opportunities throughout the game where you can, it sounds terrible to like say ease off the gas, but if you know a hitter is super patient 0-0, whether it's to a fastball or a breaking ball, and you know that you can kind of just flip one in there at 80% because you're playing the numbers. If he swings 5% of the time, you're almost going to tip your cap if he actually gets it on that one. So you have to find the opportunities to, I guess, save that energy. But then it's also a total mind game where that adrenaline really gets going when you know you're towards the end of your start. So I think that adrenaline kicks in and it doesn't feel like you've already thrown 100 pitches. You're just, like I say, empty in the tank. Built on all adrenaline, and then your body will have to recover after that.
We're talking to Michael King here, Padres a starting pitcher on 97.3 The Fan, and branching off that a little bit, you have so many numbers that you can look through on the scouting report, and you were just talking about this guy swings 5% in this count, this guy does this. How much of that are you keeping in your head as you're pitching? Because to me, it would seem easier just to push all that out.
I think it's definitely part of the game planning before you go out there. And then a lot of it actually has to do with how you're feeling and reading swings in the moment. So I think that you can see a quick change in approach that you weren't ready for early on in the game. And now it's based on what you're seeing. And I'd rather trust my eyes in the moment. And I know I trust both Higgy and Campy, if whoever's catching me that day, to also see it. So, and the other thing is, a guy could be terrible against sliders, and that day my slider's terrible, so I have to then adjust and get an out with a different pitch than the scouting report says. So it's a great baseline to go in with and have a plan of attack, but you really have to be able to adjust to whatever they're showing you.
Michael, I got to compliment you, and in complimenting you, I have to tell you just a very quick story about when I pitched in college at San Diego State.
Go.
Oh, stop it. And I had a shutout one day going into the seventh inning, and we were winning maybe 3-4, and I really felt like I was pitching a great game that day. First two runners got on base in the seventh inning, and Coach Dietz, the old venerable coach of the Aztecs, came walking out to take me out of the game. And he made the motion to the bullpen mound, so I couldn't even talk him out of it. Anyway, I stupidly started walking off and flipped him the baseball.
Ooh.
And he grabbed me and brought me back up on the mound and basically said, don't do that again. But I guess that's kind of was the competitor in me. You know, I didn't want to come out. Anyway, so the other day, you have a great game going. I thought there's no way you wanted to come out of that game, but some days that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, so I learned that mistake. I was a freshman in high school when I did that.
Oh.
And, I flipped the ball to the manager when he pulled me, and I will never make that mistake again.
Yeah.
But that was actually a conversation I had with Schulte when I first got traded over here. And I don't care if I'm giving up 10 runs or if I'm scoreless. I'm going to be mad when I get pulled from the game because I always have it. If you're starting the game, it's your game. So.
Yeah.
I told him that, and I said there's definitely going to be no hard feelings. It's just the competitor in me, and especially if I'm leaving my own runners out there on the bases, I want to be the one that can finish the job and do it for the team. But obviously, he has all the data, and he's got the game feel. Where I'm out there just running on pure adrenaline. So he always makes the best decisions, but in the moment, I definitely don't agree with it every time I get pulled.
Yeah, I could feel that for sure. And I mean, I think that's what he would say, that that's what he appreciates. He wants you to be a gamer and go after it. But you guys end up winning that game on Wednesday, and it's back to back walk offs. Has that made a difference in the mindset of this team? I mean, it's only 48 hours since then. It's also only two wins. But it seems, I know one thing. The fan base is a lot more excited all of a sudden. I mean, how do you guys couch those two back-to-back walk-offs?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's preferred to blow everybody out. But when you can actually come together as a team and win close ball games, it definitely shows you something. So I think a little bit of that, but also especially in the game that I pitched in, we blew the lead, you know, so it's like the hitters then took care of the pitchers and we gave up the lead late in the game too. And there was no quit in us. So it's awesome to see each other. I always, kind of put the pitchers against the position players, but like we all pick each other up, and the position players are going to go out there and only put up one for us, and that's the time the pitchers need to show up and throw a shutout. And then it's the opposite where, yeah, you give us a lead and the pitchers blow it, and now it's up to them to make up for it. So it's been really good team wins, but I definitely would love like a 10-0 blowout today.
We're talking to Michael King. Michael, this is my last one. Really quick question, but what is your favorite thing to do as a pitcher? You struck out 12 the other day, so strikeouts got to feel good, but what is like the one thing that really gets you pumped up?
Strikeouts are obviously great. Double plays are huge. I think one thing, and I thought this was always fun, obviously you're never trying to hit anybody, but whenever you hit a batter, if you can get the next guy to ground into a double play after that, I think it's like the greatest thing.
That is
you can kind of hurt the one batter, and then you hurt the feelings of the next batter by getting two outs. So that's a good one.
All right. Well, next time you hit a guy, we'll be thinking about that.
We will.
Wish you the best.
Hey,
Michael, enjoy your weekend back home there, or back in New York, and we'll see you back out on the mound in Philly. Congrats on the great start to this season. You've been a big part of what the Padres are doing, and you know we hope that all continues for you. And you've been very kind to us, so we appreciate that. And enjoy the ride, sir. Thank you.
Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Hi, there he is, Michael King, having a nice year. A little inconsistent, you know, from time to time, but
it's been pretty consistent lately.
Right, number one. Number two, he wasn't brought here to be the ace of the staff, all right? But look, he's pitched 83 innings. That's the same number as Dylan Cease. So, I mean, he's given you a lot of innings. He only has six fewer strikeouts than Dylan Cease. I mean, Cease has 101, King has 95, same number of innings. They almost both have the same ERA, 3.36 for Cease, 3.58 for King. I think the big difference is in the WHIP, walks and hits, innings pitched. Cease is 1.00, which is really, really good. King is 1.22, which is
really
good.
Really good.
But it's not really, really good. It's just good, good. but, you know, one's 5-4, one's 6-5. Cease has 8 quality starts. King has 6. So, you know,
Michael,
I mean,
King, I'll tell you,
you could have done a lot worse.
Yes.
Could have done a lot worse in that trade.
Absolutely.
And it's also his first year being a starter and being a full-time guy.
In front of you right here?
I don't, but it won't take long.
Because he has, I believe, struck out over 10 batters at least 3 times this year. I know he did it against the A's. I know he did it against the Dodgers. And didn't he strike out 10 against the Brewers?
That Brewer game was really his most dominant.
Yeah,
he's had 3 games. 10 and 11 against the Dodgers, 12 the other day was a season high. The Brewer game was probably the best game he pitched all year, right?
What about the Dodger game?
Excuse me?
What about the game where he pitched against Tyler Glasnow?
Wow, he was great. 7 innings, 2 hits, 3 walks, 11 Ks. But I'd say the Brewer game was a little better. He didn't give up any hits until the 7th or 8th inning?
Yeah.
7 2/3. Anyway, the one difference was he lost the Brewer game, or they lost the Brewer game. The Padres did.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Glasnow game you're talking about, the Padres won.
Yeah.
King did not get a decision in that one.
It's brutal.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one when you
the one on
that
Wednesday,
well.
I'm like, I was going through it.
He didn't get a decision Wednesday either. So, right, he went 5 innings, and when he came out, his 2 runners scored. So that took him out of the decision.
I wanted to ask him, and we didn't have enough time with him. He had to head to a meeting, but I wanted to ask him, like, what is it like as a starting pitcher when you leave two guys out there and then you're...
They both come in?
And they both come in. And he said it. He said he felt bad to leave... have the guys come in with his runners on base.
Well, he's as competitive as anyone, and he didn't want to come out of that game the other day. You don't even have to ask him straight up.
Yeah.
Were you happy about coming out? Of course he wasn't, and he said he's not happy about coming out of any game. That's the attitude I want. I mean, that's exactly the guy I want out there. And, you know, but I guess, you know, Mike Schilt felt 98 pitches. You know, that was enough. I mean, he's thrown as many as 109 this year. So that's why I would have let him, you know, stay out there in that A's game, because he was really dealing.
He could have gotten a double play. He could have struck out three more batters.
Could have given up a three-run homer. I mean, a lot of things can happen.
Yeah.
So, but as it turned out, Wandy came in, and it was hit, 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 bunt, double, hit.
Don't remind me, Chris.
I know, that crazy bunt play.
It was a crazy bunt play.
Yeah.
And what about his last answer? I love that. Or what's your favorite thing to do as a pitcher? And he said, get a double play after hitting a batter.
After I hit a batter, yeah.
That is so good.
He's only hit one batter all year.
Really?
Yeah, that was in the game against Arizona about a week and a half ago. Here's the best news of all about Michael King. I'll be straight honest. He's made 14 starts this year. Padres have won 9 of those. So whether he gets the win or not, they win more times than not when he starts. You can't ask a lot more than that from your number 3, or in his case, I guess, 4 starter, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think King's been good. And I said it the other day, Higashioka started to pick it up. Vasquez has been invaluable. The Juan Soto trade will never be looked upon by, you know, too many people as a wonderful deal for the Padres.
You don't think so? I know where you're going, but you don't think so?
I mean, Soto's going to maybe be the MVP of the league, and you're going to be able to say, well, you know, we traded that. But as we've discussed, they had to make the trade. They had to get the payroll under control.
They did.
And in doing so, where would they be without King and Vasquez right now? You have Darvish and Musgrove injured. What would you have? You'd have a one-man pitching staff. You'd have Dylan Cease. That'd be the only guy you have. So, you know, you really are kind of in a situation where that trade saved you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a two-man staff. You'd still have Matt Waldron. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's turned out to be beneficial in a lot of ways for the Padres.
I always find,
you know, as good as Soto's been, you know, you can look at this and say, hey, it's worked out okay.
I always forget what I'm about to say.
No, you don't always. Tony does that more than you do. And I do it more than both of you combined, because
I'm
older.
What? Let's check our legal ID and maybe I'll remember.
All right.
So it always amazes me, because you asked him about coming here with Juan Soto going in exchange. Do you ever look and see what he's doing? It always amazes me that these guys say they don't, because not that I don't believe him, but it's only human nature to want to look up Juan Soto's stats as a pitcher, right? Like, you were the guy who was traded along with some other people, but it's human nature to want to know. And I find it amazing that those guys are able to block that out.
I doubt they are.
That's what I know. I'm not going to call him a liar.
No. I mean, he's giving the answer he should give under these circumstances. But you got to take a peek at what the guy you got traded for is doing.
Yeah.
You have to.
You just get him either for motivation
the
or
same
for
way,
satisfaction.
The same way as whenever any player from the Padres leaves here, whether it's free agency or trade or, you know, whatever the case may be, all of us as fans feel some type of way every time that player does something good.
There's always a Josh Naylor comment for me somewhere.
Josh Naylor. Man, I wish that guy would stop hitting home runs.
Me too.
Yeah.
You know who did stop? Guys like Fran Mill Ray has stopped hitting home runs.
I know. Fran Mill's like out of baseball.
That's so sad.
That's so weird, man. I just love that guy.
Manny Margot's got a haircut.
Manny's still in baseball.
Manny Margot is
Twins, I think.
Whoa, hey. Twins. Yes, he is with the Twins.
All right, Jerkson Profar is back in the lineup tonight. Sam Levitt will have all the details in the pregame show coming up shortly. But I just underscore how amazing and how awesome this season has been for this guy. 244 is his career batting average. This year, 324.
Mm-hmm.
The only guy with a higher batting average, I think, in all of baseball is Arise, unless that's changed in the last 24 hours or so. I mean,
he's dipped a bit.
Goes up and down.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were the 1-2 for a good portion of time here last week, earlier this week. So 324. All time career OPS, 721. This year, 924.
And
203 points.
I'm telling you, this is the magical year of Jerickson Profar.
It does seem like, the other night was another example of it. It does seem like if there's runners at second and third and he's batting and he hits a line drive kind of ground ball like he did the other night, it's going to just elude the second baseman and go into the outfield for a two-run hit. It's been that kind of year.
Yeah.
Now, he's hit the ball with authority.
You don't get an OPS like that if you're not
hitting. But you don't get OPSs like that and slugging with the right. But it does also seem like when he's been sawed off, ball falls right on the chalk down the foul line, he gets a double.
I'll take it.
Fantastic. I love it. The magic of Jerkson Profar has been right there with Suarez, but I think Profar, because you see it every day. Seems like every day.
It does seem like every day.
So
I hope his knee feels better, though.
You're so nice. Is that what you'd say if you ran into him? How's your knee, buddy?
I would. I would be like, hey, Jerkson, I just got shoulder surgery, so I understand what you're going through.
The thing that I had forgotten about Profar was that he was like the biggest, right, supposed star coming into the big leagues.
Oh, he was like that. He was that guy. He was the prospect. People were talking about him like he was the next coming of like Willie Mays and all those guys.
Did not remember that. He debuted as a 19-year-old.
AJ Preller has been on his. I mean, they've worked together all the way back in those Rangers days.
2012, Profar started his career. This is 12 years into it before this has happened for him.
Good for him.
Absolutely. Sammy Levitt pregame show. EcoWater SoCal pregame show. That's next. Then Tony and Jesse with the game. Enjoy the weekend. Let's keep it going. I don't want to go back to Mr. Negative on Monday.
Yeah, me neither.
Right? So let's just see if we can keep a little momentum going along. Scraby with the appearance back in studio today.
I just post.
Attaboy, Scrabe.
Thank you.
Tony Gwynn Jr., Crisello, have a good rest of your day and a great weekend. Don't forget, Father's Day is Sunday. Might want to get a card somewhere along the line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So it always amazes me because you asked him about coming here with Juan Soto going in exchange. Do you ever look and see what he's doing? It always amazes me that these guys say they don't, because I don't believe him, but it's only human nature to want to look up Juan Soto's stats as a pitcher, right? Like, you were the guy who was traded along with some other people, but it's human nature to want to know. And I find it amazing that those guys are able to block that out.
I doubt they are.
That's what I know. I'm not going to call him a liar.
No. I mean, he's giving the answer he should give under these circumstances. But you got to take a peek at what the guy you got traded for is doing.
Yeah.
You have to.
You just get him either for motivation
the
or
same
for
way,
satisfaction.
The same way as whenever any player from the Padres leaves here, whether it's free agency or trade or, you know, whatever the case may be, all of us as fans feel some type of way every time that player does something good.
There's always a Josh Naylor comment for me somewhere.
Josh Naylor. Man, I wish that guy would stop hitting home runs.
Me too. Yeah. You know who did stop? Guys like Fran Mill Ray has stopped hitting home runs.
I know. Fran Mill's like out of baseball.
That's so sad.
That's so weird, man. I just love that guy.
Manny Margot's got a haircut.
Manny's still in baseball.
Where's Manny Margot,
is Twins,
that?
I think.
Whoa, hey. Twins. Yes, he is with the Twins.
All right, Jerks and Profar is back in the lineup tonight. Sam Levitt will have all the details in the pregame show coming up shortly. But I, yeah, just to underscore how amazing and how awesome this season has been for this guy. 244 is his career batting average. This year, 324.
Mm-hmm.
The only guy with a higher batting average, I think, in all of baseball is Arraez, unless that's changed in the last 24 hours or so. I mean,
he's dipped a bit.
Goes up and down.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were the 1-2 for a good portion of time here last week, earlier this week. So 324. All-time career OPS, 721. This year, 924.
And
203
to do it.
Points.
I'm telling you, this is the magical year of Jerickson Profar.
It does seem like, and the other night was another example of it. It does seem like if there's runners at second and third, and he's batting, and he hits a line drive kind of ground ball like he did the other night, it's going to just elude the second baseman and go into the outfield for a two-run hit. It's been that kind of year.
Yeah.
Now, he's hit the ball with authority.
You don't get an OPS like that if you're not
hitting.
But
you don't get OPSs like that and slugging with the right. But it does also seem like when he's been sawed off, ball falls right on the chalk down the foul line, he gets a double.
I'll take it. Every
fantastic.
Time.
I love it. The magic of Jerickson Profar has been right there with Suarez, but I think Profar, because you see it every day. Seems like every day.
It does seem like every day.
So
I hope his knee feels better, though.
You're so nice. Is that what you'd say if you ran into him? How's your knee, buddy?
I would. I would be like, hey, Jerickson, I just got shoulder surgery, so I understand what you're going through.
The thing that I had forgotten about Profar was that he was like the biggest, right, supposed star coming into the big leagues.
Oh, he was like that. He was that guy. He was the prospect. People were talking about him like he was the next coming of like Willie Mays and all those guys.
Did not remember that. He debuted as a 19-year-old.
AJ Preller has been on his. I mean, they've worked together all the way back in those Rangers days.
2012, Profar started his career. This is 12 years into it before this has happened for him.
Good for him.
Absolutely. Sammy Levitt pregame show. EcoWater SoCal pregame show. That's next. Then Tony and Jesse with the game. Enjoy the weekend. Let's keep it going. I don't want to go back to Mr. Negative on Monday.
Yeah, me neither.
Right? So let's just see if we can keep a little momentum going along. Scraby with the appearance back in studio today.
I just post.
Attaboy, Scrabe.
Thank you.
Tony Gwynn Jr., Crisello, have a good rest of your day and a great weekend. Don't forget, Father's Day is Sunday. Might want to get a card somewhere along the line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.